big story, and we don't really know if he was really inaugurated or not. Do we?
He was inaugurated, but he sure wasn't elected.
You're right, absolutely. And then on March 11th, a judge, a court reporter, and sheriff's deputy are shot and killed at an Atlanta courthouse. Now, tell me what's on your list.
Oh, let's see. Number four from Project Sunset. Surveillance society quietly moves in.
That's a scary one.
And let's see. This is from the beginning, or early on in the timeline. We know for sure that after the Oklahoma City bombing, that Clinton did his own sort of USA Patriot Act light. And then we've seen how secrecy has proliferated throughout all aspects of our lives this last year. My personal opinion is that it has amped up geometrically. This actually comes from a website that we use here sometimes. We get clues from it. It's not what we call it's not really a hard source, but it's Capitol Hill Blue. The title of the article is "Where Big Brother Snoops on America 24/7. Another great thing to go and take a look at. Jade, what have you got?
Hey, you know, the Oregonian is really pumping along there. Yeah, they are, you know. They're talking about the Terry Schiavo dies 13 days after removal of her feeding tube, and that was a big controversy in mainstream media. And, you know, there's a story that journalists face unprecedented dangers to life and livelihood. I didn't hear that reported, did you? That's number seven on the list that you have?
We did at KABU a number of stories. Of course, the deliberate bombing of the Palestine Hotel in Baghdad.
Virus database has been updated.
Targeting Al Jazeera reporters. And, of course, Al Jazeera reporters have been repeatedly targeted in a rather ineffectual way in some cases and in a very lethal way in others. Around the world, this has been a very bad year to be a journalist, except, I suppose, if you work for the Oregonian, where it's more or less a desk job, I suppose. While the Oregonian was worrying about Terry Schiavo, the real oil for food scam began to emerge, that the U.S. had accused United Nations officials of corruption in Iraq's oil for food program. According to Joy Gordon and Scott Ritter, the charge was actually an attempt to disguise and cover up long-term U.S. government complicity in the corruption. Whoops, Oregonian, missed it.
Missed it again. And you know what? They covered Eric Rudolph, who pleaded guilty in the 1996 Olympics bombing. And then on April 20th, Bush signs legislation making it harder for people to wipe out debts by declaring bankruptcy. Now, that's a big, sad one. What about the Iraqi farmers, you know, threatened by Bremer's mandates?
Yeah.
That's Adventure Capitalism. In his article, Greg Palast exposes the contents of a secret plan for imposing a new regime of low taxes on big business and quick sales of Iraq's banks and bridges. In fact, all state enterprises to foreign operators. And it was a makeover plan, he claims, that goes boldly where no invasion plan has gone before. Now, I didn't see that reported in the Oregonian. Did you?
No, I haven't been a consistent reader of the Oregonian. I read the Metro section.
I think you do.
There have been so many very important things that have gone on. Another one that I did not see, and I certainly, if you work for the Oregonian, and we are not attacking, by the way, I'd just like to point out,
right,
the Oregonian does a good job on covering Metro local stories in some cases. Newspapers in general have seen their revenues fall. That in itself is alarming. Fewer people are reading, more people are getting their news from a screen instead. And I know that papers all across the country have had to cut back on their actual reporters on the ground. So this is not an ad hominem attack against the Oregonian itself. This is simply to highlight some of the failings of mainstream media. These are stories that you don't actually need to go to. Good idea, of course, to go there in person, but you don't need to. You can do the research and come up with the same results. So what we're trying to focus on here, I think, is ultimately it's a question of choice. What do you choose to publish and what do you choose to suppress is the issue. We've got another one here, number 10 from Project Censored, is mountaintop removal threatens ecosystem and economy. There was a story just today, I noticed it after we'd already finished the news. Two mountains are going to have their tops more or less shaved straight off. This is showing up faintly on the mainstream radar screen, but mountaintop removal is this new form of coal mining, which companies dynamite the tops of mountains to collect the coal underneath. What this wreaks absolute havoc environmentally. It ruins streams, water, wildlife habitat. It's obviously the erosion that's caused is incredible. And let's not forget that this is coal mining, and it's going to have serious effects, of course, on the question of climate change.
That's true, and you know, if that isn't bad enough, you know, they're chopping off the mountaintops and they're dumping the waste into the valleys and the riverbeds, you know, in the process. So, you know, this is Talk Radio, folks. I know we only have a half hour here, but if there's anyone out there who thinks they have a good news story that has been underreported in the mainstream media, why don't you give us a call at 231-8187 and let us know what you think that was not reported during this year.
Give us a call.
Yeah, give us a call, because we have lists here of things that were not reported, and I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who know of issues that they don't read about and that aren't talked about in mainstream media. And like I said, like you said, Chris, the Oregonian is a newspaper, and it covers local issues, and like it's a matter of choice. And look at this one here on May 31st, former FBI official Mark Felt acknowledged that he was Deep Throat, the secret source who helped Washington Post reporters undercover the Watergate scandal. And, you know, they reported that, but, you know, they kind of left out the Universal Mental Screening Program. Okay, we have some calls here. All right. Welcome to KABU, caller. Do you have a news story for us?
Is this me?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay. The one that's been underreported is detention and interrogation of American citizens. I just recently heard about a couple weeks ago an American, you know, born and bred here, happens to be a member of the Nation of Islam, gets picked up by the FBI at 2 o'clock in the morning, stuck on an airplane, taken to parts unknown for a few hours, questioned for days, a couple of days, 2 or 3 days, dropped off back at his house, 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 or 3 days later, and, you know, it's going, you know, Ellen was talking earlier about the Nazi Germany, and that, you know, he's like dedicated to make sure that that doesn't happen here, but it's like it's so easy. Well, you know, the kind of stuff that we used to think only happened in Russia or East Germany is happening here all the time, and it's not being reported.
And I believe that the very way in every detail of these kind of invasive tactics are designed to instill terror in the person being picked up. In the instance that you just referred to, fancy having someone come into your house in the middle of the night and drag you off before you could tell anyone. I think it's more important now. It's always been, but of course, I think we're living in days when it's more important than ever to be in close touch with friends, people that you trust all the time, so that if something should happen to any one of us, and who knows. Some of these things have been so ridiculous that people have been hauled off for so absurd reasons. And it's mainly to instill fear. They don't have anything on these people. The questioning is not even designed to come up with any information. What it's designed to do is to instill fear in the community.
Well, right. the one thing
in my opinion
said was that it was quite obvious to him they had no ideas at all about Islam and what it's about.
Of course they don't.
And,
of course not.
But, yeah, so it is going on all the time, and there's... So that's just one.
Yeah, well, I appreciate your call, and thank you for calling in. And we do have a couple more callers on the line, so good. You know, do you have another underreported story caller?
Hello?
Hi, welcome to KBOO.
Yeah, hello. I wasn't listening very carefully, but on Democracy Now, or the day before, and I heard this on Democracy Now or in some other place, and I may not have it very accurate, but it's something about either Arab people or Middle Eastern people, I don't know whether in the United States or what, made a complaint with Alberto Gonzalez, and I believe the word that was used was raided, that Arabs, the Middle Eastern people where they gather or live, are being radiated. I believe that was the word.
So I think that the story was actually that the government had secretly been monitoring mosques for radiation, in other words, looking for dirty bomb type making materials, that sort of thing. I believe that was what you're thinking of, isn't it?
Yeah, it might be.
I got a doozy for you.
But anyway, thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks for calling. Do we have any more calls?
Yeah, we do have another caller. Welcome to KBOO, caller. Do you have they kind of hung up. That's all right.
Call back.
Yeah, call back. 503-231-8187. We're talking about unreported stories that happened in the past year that you know of and that we know of, and the underreporting by a lot of the mainstream media. We happen to have the Oregonian here, but it's papers all over the United
States. Right, and the question issue, the issue is, of course, in my opinion, that it is choice and responsibility.
That's true. We do have some more callers, Chris.
Oh, good. That's
yeah. All right. This is Community Radio, folks, at its finest. Welcome to KBOO, caller.
Okay. Underreported would be the curve of empire, and that we are over the top of the parabola, and these idiots are pushing us instead of plateauing us off, and gently they are dragging us even further down that curve of empire that every other civilization has been known to go through, and we are over the top and going down, and they are pulling us down even more.
That's what these stories are about in from Project Censored. These are the nails in the coffin of empire. The stories that go unreported, and I do feel personally that it is a matter of choice, and when the mainstream media, newspapers from all across the country fail to make responsible choices as to what sort of information that they provide, then I think we do absolutely have a cultural crisis, and it is symptomatic of that fatal curve of empire that the caller just referenced.
Right.
I got a doozy here. I just got to tell you this. You know how we all amongst activist communities often make jokes about, oh, what are we going to do next, invade Canada? Well, guess what? Number 16 on Project Censored list is U.S. plans for hemispheric integration, includes Canada. The U.S. and Canada have been sharing national information since the creation of NORAD. This is a story actually about NORTHCOM, and I direct your attention to it. You should take a look at Project Censored's lists and read for yourself what this actually means. A lot of the people who had designed a project for the New American Century have had their eye on Canada when that project got rolling in the 90s.
Right. You know, we do have callers.
Oh,
I see the green light flashing in there, and Beth is really busy. So I think this caller has to turn the radio down and turn it off completely because we're getting feedback. If you could. Maybe we should go to another caller.
Yeah, I think so.
Just take care of that feedback.
Hello.
Hello, this is KBOO.
Morning.
Good morning. Do you have an unreported story or underreported story to tell us about?
I believe so, because it's something I have to really search for.
Like what?
Not being a Democrat, but definitely interested in what's going on in D.C. I think it's been underreported on what the Democratic Party, or at least even middle-of-the-road Republicans, have had to do to get anything on the floor, anything in committee, any, you know, all the battles I think are underreported. And
good point, caller.
Very good point.
Specifically, do you have a particular one? I mean, are you perhaps referring to the original vote in the Senate on the Medicare bill, where I guess they stayed in there until 3 a.m. while political operatives went around and twisted arms to get people to vote for this bill that no one had read?
Certainly, just the powers that be that are in charge right now have the majority. They don't even just take advantage of that. They're going beyond the rules of establishment of parliamentary procedure and all that. That's another story altogether. I'm just talking about the legitimate battles that the, you know, Democrats have had to do to at least legislate some of these crazy rules coming through the House, seemingly top down. And yeah, it's a battle every day, and we need to get the House back. Anyway, thanks.
Yeah,
thank
we
you.
Do. Thank you, caller. We do have some more callers wanting to tell us about their underreported stories. Welcome to KABU, caller.
Hi, Jane.
Hi.
Chris.
Hi.
Thanks for doing this. And I have not exactly an underreported story in specific. I wanted to...
Uh-oh.
Can we get our caller back on the line, do you think? Or caller try back, please.
Right. You know, I'm going to talk about one underreported story that was the conservative plan to override academic freedom in the classroom. You know, this one really, really scares me. We send our kids, you know, to college, hopefully that they will broaden their scope and open their minds. And in his article in the new PC, Russell Jacoby addresses the new extremist conservative movement to bring what they say is a political balance to higher education. These conservatives see academia as a hotbed of liberal activity that is working to indoctrinate America's youth with left-wing ideology, citing studies that conclude that faculty of most universities are overwhelmingly liberal. They fear that these liberal faculty members, they fear that these faculty members are abusing students who profess conservative belief systems. And, you know, when they start to twist it around, you know, in the universities, it's kind of scary. So that's number 15 on the list. And I think we have our caller back that we had a little trouble with. So.
Are you there?
Yeah, I am. So I wanted to actually bring up a topic as opposed to a specific story, and I don't know how much of my previous statement got through, but it's climate change and global warming, because they're not the same. There was a lot of coverage of a fairly superficial sort with the Montreal meeting just recently, but what didn't get a lot of coverage that happened in the past year is a British newspaper reported the possible beginning of the North Atlantic conveyor shutdown. This is the Gulf Stream going across the Atlantic up across England, and that's what keeps Europe warm and ice-free. That was a preliminary notification, I think, in May. And additionally, there's more and more evidence that the rate of global warming is increasing. I've actually done a bunch of radio about this. I'm a programmer there as well. And the rate of change in global warming is three times the rate in the past 25 years is
and much higher than they predicted, much higher than their worst fears too, I believe.
Right, but it's another one of these kind of exponential curves where it kind of starts out slow and momentum compounds and it gets faster. The longer it goes, the faster it gets.
Right, like the chip industry.
Yeah.
Right, so...
In chaos theory, I believe that it's a sensitive dependence on initial conditions.
Wow, systems, I'm out of my league.
Systems tend, the effects snowball.
Yeah.
That's what we're seeing.
Right, I know the snowball effect. You and your fancy language, Chris. Thanks for doing this show, and Happy New Year to everyone.
Thank you for calling. I think we have another caller on the line. Okay, welcome to KABU Caller. You got to turn off your radio if you want to be on the radio, you know. Getting a lot of feedback. Okay, well, let's go on to... Okay, we have another caller here. So welcome to KABU Caller.
I understand that the black boxes from the planes that crashed into World Trade Center 1 and 2 have been recovered.
Really?
Do we know? Yeah. Do we know if they have been said to have anything on them? I'll take my answer off the air.
The NTS, the National Transportation Agency, they were delivered to the National Transportation Agency to be analyzed, and feds came and said, nope, we want them instead. And that's the last anybody ever saw of those. So, yeah, they were recovered, but no information was recovered from the actual boxes. Anybody else on the line there?
No, not
at the moment.
Now.
Okay,
nope.
This ought to do it.
What?
Nanotechnology.
Okay, tell us about it.
I don't know if any listeners are familiar with a sort of slang term, gray goo. And I believe that this is what we're hearing here from an article in the Chronicle of Higher Education. This is from September 10th of 2004. The Dark Side of Small. Nanotechnology sites are using tiny little molecules, right? Some of them are so small they're like the size of a grain of sand. And they can easily get into the human body. Great deal of money is being spent. There was a story in the news this week about how wonderful it was that Oregon was going to get some federal money for research into nanotechnology, mainly for defense purposes. Don't you love defense?
I
it's
do.
Not the Defense Department, it's the War Department.
It is the War Department.
But only 1% of the money for research into this incredibly important and somewhat mysterious field, 1% is going towards risk assessment, despite the fact nanotechnology also has the potential to cause harm to people and the environment. Besides people and the environment, I don't really know what else there is to cause harm to, you know?
Right.
That pretty much covers it. They can damage skin cells in humans, and they can kill valuable bacteria in water, especially if these things are designed to reorganize the metabolism of living cells. And in many cases, that is precisely what they're being designed to do. Call our listeners. Call us and tell us what you think of that. That is from a story called The Dark Side of Small from the Chronicle of Higher Education. But you can find it on Project Sense's website.
And you know, another story that was underreported was number 17, where the U.S. used the South American military bases to expand control of the region. And this was the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists, February 2005. And it says here that the United States has a military base in Manta, Ecuador, one of the three military bases located in Latin America. According to the United States, we are there to help the citizens of Manta, but an article in the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists say that many people tell a different story. According to Miguel Moran, head of the group called the Movimiento Tojali, which opposes the Manta military base, Manta is part of a border U.S. imperialistic strategy aimed at exploiting the continent's natural resources. Ho, 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 have we heard that one before? So anyway, you know, our time is almost up. We've only got about 2 minutes left, but I just wanted to say one thing here. I noticed in our good Oregonian that they did publish some of our corporate fraud people. They're sending them to jail, and they did make a note of it. So John Regas and his son Timothy were convicted in federal court last year of conspiracy, bank fraud, and securities fraud. And on June 20th, John Regas was sentenced to 15 years in prison and Timothy Regan to 20. Now, you know, things are happening.
Yeah.
Things are happening.
I agree. There are things that are happening. That was an interesting editorial choice on the part of the Oregonian.
Right.
I do think that it's important to be highly sensitive to the difference between an underreported or unreported story and the sensational aspects of things. We haven't even got to depleted uranium
and
climate change.
No, we haven't. No, we haven't gotten to any of these stories. I guess we're going to have to do this again.
There
is
so much more to
cover.
There
is. And, you know, this is Jade Pakula. And
Chris Andre.
Yeah, signing off for KABU Underreported News. And you know what? I want to read this. This KABU program has been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Portland's gay and lesbian community, Yellow Pages, providing a wide array of gay-friendly business listings. More information at 503-230-7701 or www.pdx.com. by GayYellowPages.com. And thanks, Beth, for handling all those calls there for us.